plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID. Or visit your local DMV. And then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion. Or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. I'm your co-host, John, here with my wife and co-host. She's quite the handball professional herself, if you know what I mean. It's the one and only Teresa.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? Handball is the name that should go for American football.
Handball.
You play American football with hands. American football, or football for you guys, is the worst name in the history of sports. Because football football is what we play in the rest of the world. Yeah. You play it with your feet. Hence, football. You guys play, you guys hold it and you kick it once in a while when you get a chance. It's called the football.
I'm with you. It's very
confusing. It's a handball.
I don't know why we do that.
It's ridiculous. It's like you guys decided like you don't want to have Celsius. You want to have something special and you have Fahrenheit and it makes zero sense.
Yeah. Miles per hour?
I think it's like...
You ever hear kilometers?
I think it's a lot of proudness. I think there's a lot of proudness. You guys just want it to be different.
Let's ask. Let's go straight to the source. Alexa, why is American football called football?
Here's what I found on American football's Wikipedia page. In the United States, American football is referred to as football. The term football was officially established in the rulebook for the 1876 college football season, when the sport first shifted from soccer-style rules to rugby-style rules.
Although
at this point, Harvard, one of the primary proponents...
All right, Alexa, stop.
I didn't get it.
So it originally started with... soccer-style rules. So it was originally football.
Well, okay, but football existed. Why wouldn't you just pick a different name? It's ridiculous. It's one of the most ridiculous things in the world.
Football. Well, it's spelled differently.
No,
I don't really
not.
Know.
No,
I can't
it's
give
not.
You... Sure it is. It's not F-O-O-T in Europe. It's F-U-T-B-O-L.
Well, in Germany, in Czech, it's football. It's foosball in Germany. It's football in England and South Africa.
Why did you become such a jock over there?
Well, because it makes sense. I like things that make sense. This makes zero sense to me.
I
heard Kobe playing handball, I'm like, damn, that's what Americans should call their football.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're not wrong.
Thank you.
That's why we watch reality television and not sports, because we can't keep up. We don't even understand the names.
True.
Let alone the rules. Am I right, Teresa?
Well, I honestly, once I learned that after 4 hours of watching a game of American football, the actual game only took about 15 minutes.
There's about 15 minutes of action in a 4 quarters of professional football.
And so I could have saved myself like 1,000 calories. If it only took 15 minutes, I would have had one beer and one pretzel.
Correct.
Meanwhile, I had 5 beers and 4 pretzels.
Correct.
It was never ending. Took very long. I don't know what's happening. And guess what? They don't play with their feet.
Teresa, people tune into this podcast because they don't want to hear about sports. So let's...
I'm with you guys. I'm with you. My rant is over.
Let's keep this thing moving. Before we get into the reality television, real quick, a little news. Okay, not even news, but business.
Oh.
We're on Patreon.
Oh. You got me excited.
Well, it's news to some people. We're on Patreon. We're on Supercast. Yes, we are. We're over there talking about the very end, the very tail end of The Single Life. It's wrapping up, unfortunately. It's been quite the season. But all good things must come to an end. When one door closes, another opens. What's opening is Love in Paradise.
Woo-hoo!
So we will be jumping over and covering that on Patreon and Supercast as soon as The Single Life ends. So if you want to hear our thoughts on that, it looks like a good season as well.
Excited. I'm excited. I'm sad because The Single Life, especially the tell-all, woo! I love it so much that I don't know what I'm going to do after it ends.
Yeah.
But you just reminded me what I'm going to do.
I think you know exactly what you're going to do. We're going to be covering Love in Paradise. So check it out. Patreon.com/MarriedToReality, MarriedToReality.Supercast.com. It's a good time. Also, it's a good time on the Instagram at MarriedToRealityPod. So come on, follow us over there. Message us. That's where you guys can call in. When we say call in, message us on Instagram. Share your thoughts.
Yeah, we love that, guys. Do it.
We sure do. Also, we'd love if you follow the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Just look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hard as the bat bridge.
Okay.
I learned something new.
Yeah, it did? You didn't know about that?
I think it did. I just didn't know it was in Austin.
What are you talking about? It's literally one of the things Austin's most famous for.
I've heard of a bad bridge.
It's one of the weirdest.
Or maybe I've heard of a bad bridge. Like the one in Baltimore.
Soon. Too
I know.
Soon, Teresa.
That's JK.
That's a sad bridge.
JK.
All right. So smash like this hot as the bats. And last but not least, if you haven't left a review, you guys know we love reviews. We love them so much that if you leave a 5-star review and you write something, we'll read it on this podcast right here.
All right. Let's hear it.
You're not even going to ask if I have one.
You gave me a look. Oh, I knew it. Yeah, little, I knew you little, have one.
A little twinkle in my eye because of this review from our friend FinFan.
Hello, FinFan.
22. Quite a fan of reality TV podcasts, I'll say. Not just a fan of Finn's, but a fan of reality TV podcasts. They write 5 stars, save this podcast for last because one saves the best for last. I'm relatively new to listening to podcasts. Started only in January. Well, welcome to podcasts, Finn.
Yeah,
Finn.
We live for this.
They listen to all of the podcasts of trashy TLC shows. No matter how my finger itches to click the latest episode of this podcast, I wait until I've listened to all of the rest. Married to Reality is entertaining, true to the show's events, and not prone to segs that take us far afield. I love that Jonathan and Teresa have a unique perspective of being an American-European couple. Guilty. My favorite thing is when Teresa calls someone a moron because of the accent. And my least favorite part is the closing song. It sounds scary, and I click through to get to the end to avoid it. This podcast has the right ratio of reality TV events with evaluations and personal stories related to the events. Well, thank you, FinFan. And one man's trash is another man's treasure, because I can't tell you how many people have called in and asked what that song is at the end.
I love it, and I love this honest review.
Yeah. Oh, I don't take it personal. We found that song on the free YouTube music library.
Don't give away our secret.
Well, people, I'm telling you, several people have called in and been like, what is that song? I love that song. I wish it would never end. And sometimes for fun, I play it out a little bit longer.
Oh, look at you. But some love it, some hate it. I'm okay if you don't like the song, as long as you guys enjoy us.
Yeah.
Because we truly try sometimes.
Huh?
I'm kidding.
I'm always trying.
I'm
spinning plates over here, Teresa.
I'm trying too. I'm just being myself,
trying to,
I guess,
make me mad.
But I love it. I saying more on, it's funny because John started it and I just adopted.
No, you started it. You said it accidentally and then I started making it a thing.
Oh, classic.
You think some things are pronounced certain ways.
I put the singing on the wrong syllabus. That's as a thing.
Put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
The little singing.
Sure.
It's a singing, right?
It's very melodic.
People sing. Like I think the English language, you sing a little.
All right.
So yeah, I sing the wrong syllables.
Well, thank you, FinFan.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful, beautiful review.
Such a beautiful review. All right. That is the business. That's the news. Let's get into it. The reason, well, sorry, I'm all over the place, Teresa. I'm all over. I don't know.
I need to take over because I know
I'm just excited. I'm very excited. All right. Before we get in to the meat of the episode, before we get into the reason we're here, how about a little 90 day, by the way?
Let's hear it.
By the way, number one, file this one under absolutely not.
Absolutely fucking not.
Absolutely not. Small Ed is hosting a group trip to Thailand.
Oh, yes. I've seen that. And who's going on this trip?
File this one under. I got a bald spot on my head because I've been scratching it for so long trying to figure out what's happening here. So let me break it down for you. Therese is just, I don't know what's happening. You're just staring.
I'm just waiting to hear because I'm trying to figure out how many times has he been to Thailand?
A little call and response, if you will, on this podcast.
The what?
I'm like, let me break it down for you.
Let's
break it down. All right. Let me break it down for you, Teresa. You respond.
Break it down. Okay. You're like really off your game today.
Yeah, let me try.
I'll need to carry this podcast.
Let me try to get in the groove. Small Ed is hosting a group trip to Thailand.
What? What?
Why?
Who's going?
Well, there's room for 8 to 24 people, which is quite the range.
24 people?
8 to 24. So I think he's keeping his expectations within reason, but also like, hey, if this thing explodes, there's room for more. So we could go for our anniversary if you'd like, because it's happening November 15th to the 21st.
Okay.
In Phuket, Thailand, which, you know, that's the entire reason he chose this destination.
Well, my biggest thing is that, has he even been there? And if he has, how many times? Because if I'm going to a different country with someone, I want to go with someone who knows something about it.
I would go with David and Annie to Thailand.
That's a great one. I would totally go with them.
Makes sense, right? So here we go. November 15th to the 21st. You can stay in a 4-star hotel. They're not saying which one, but 4 stars.
Okay.
It will include a local guide. So Smollett is not your guide. There will be a local guide.
So why in the world would you go with Smollett if he's just going to do nothing?
Well, here's the thing. Remember the Silva sisters tried to do something similar?
Yeah, in Vegas.
It seemed like no one signed up and they
failed.
Yeah.
It was too expensive. I think.
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Let's stick to one, by the way, at a time. The activities include a catamaran cruise, a temple tour, a Thai cooking class, and a Thai massage.
That's it?
There's a couple other things, but those are the highlights.
Okay.
All right. Early bird pricing. Now.
For how many days?
Okay. Glad you asked. November 15th. This is the call and response I'm looking for. November 15th to the 21st. So okay. You do the math.
So it's 6 days.
Seven.
Okay. Not that long if you have to fly to the other side of the world.
You got to fly to Thailand. So here's the deal. Airfare, not included. Breakfast, included. 2 lunches and 3 dinners.
Okay.
All right. So to recap, 15th to the 21st, however many days that is. No airfare, no alcohol.
Staying in a mysterious 4-star hotel.
Mysterious 4-star hotel. Breakfast, 2 lunches, 3 dinners.
Okay.
For the early bird price of,
I don't know, $1,000?
$2,700.
Are you kidding me? Thailand is pretty cheap.
Doesn't include airfare.
I think the most expensive part about Thailand is the airfare.
Doesn't include airfare. Doesn't include alcohol. Includes half your dinners and a third of your lunches.
He's probably pocketing like $1,700 per person.
I say, fuck it. Go to Thailand.
I would love to go to Thailand, but not with Small Ed. He's the last person I would want to go anywhere with.
So I completely agree. And I don't know if this is a marketing tactic, but on the website, it says, and remember, what's the room? How many? There's room for 8 to 24, right? On the website, it says 10 spots left. Does that mean 14 people have already signed up, or is this marketing and it's like 10 spots left. Just
yeah.
Better hurry up.
I mean, if I would love to know if anyone signed up and if they can tell us some tea, because I can see Small at getting drunk, spilling the tea, doing some wild stuff.
Yeah, say less.
I would never pay. I wouldn't pay $150 to go anywhere.
I wouldn't
Small
go for free.
Exactly. That's a better one.
Would not go for free. But if you're interested, check it out. He's linking to it in his Instagram.
You made a great point. If David and Annie were doing a tour and it was a reasonable price, yeah, I would consider it.
Yeah.
I would actually consider going with them because they're a lovely couple. She is from freaking Thailand. Someone who knows the locals, knows the culture, can talk to people.
Yeah.
Sure, sign me up. Freaking Small ad. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like him doing a group tour to Great Neck, Long Island. Doesn't make any sense. All right, number two. Ooh. Next time we are in your favorite city in this country, Teresa, we can get Chantel to fill our lips.
Oh, she's doing lip fillers in Atlanta?
So she works at the Southern Surgical Arts Beauty Bar in Sandy Springs, so right outside Atlanta. She's a surgical artist, so it's like Subway.
She's in a nursing school.
And this is a recent job change for her. The transition happened a couple months ago, but she just posted the other day that she's offering 15% off for new patients. She's accepting new lip filler patients, she says. 15% off the first treatment. So if you guys are in the area and looking to get a deal. Of course, clout chasing Scott.
Ugh.
He commented, sign me up. They say I don't have an upper lip. And I have a feeling if lip injections meant another 15 minutes of fame, he would inject his lips.
For sure. I just saw recently he was hanging out with Angela.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. I can actually, if I found out that he's banging Angela, I would be like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. I can see those two together.
He's injecting her lips. Oh boy. All right. Let me get back on the rails here. This thing is
all right,
already.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So good for Chantel. She said this is her dream job.
Good.
She's doing it big. So if you're in the area and you want to get those lips plump, check her out.
Do it. I feel like lip plumping is one thing I would be like really afraid to do just because I have such small lips and I have a small head that I would be afraid what's gonna come out of it.
Interesting.
Like I would consider like bigger boobs. I would consider like toning my abs. I would consider someone making my booty a little rounder,
sure.
I guess. But lip fillers, like that's one thing I would not do because I'm just afraid.
It just sounds painful.
It's not even that. Like, I think if it's done wrong, it looks awful. And I've seen people with lip fillers that did not go the way they were supposed to. And
oh, no.
It's not pretty to look at.
That's exactly how they wanted it to go. Those folks you're talking about are like
the people who
perfect.
Look like fish.
That's what they were trying to achieve.
Yeah, no. I mean, I love a good mahi-mahi, but in my belly, not on my lips.
All right. You know what they say. Injected in the lips, a lifetime on the hips.
Okay.
That's not what they say. All right, here we go. The reason we're here. Sunday night, 90 Day Fiancé. Happily ever after, question mark.
Question mark. Hold on. Honestly.
Should we just start over?
It seems like you because happily ever after, question mark. Are you tired?
Kind of.
Well, wake up, okay, Jonathan? Kind of. Wake up.
All right,
you should do 10 push-ups, drop down, I'll hold the mic, I'll hold the conversation, pump yourself up, come back, and let's do this.
I'm having deja vu. Did you do push-ups on the podcast before? Or no, you like crawled on the ground because I was trying to prove how far.
We're measuring.
Yeah. All right. The reason we're here, Sunday night, 90 Day Fiancé, happily ever after,
question mark.
Season 8, episode 5. Let's do this thing. Emily has been in Cameroon like 24 hours and she's already gotten two new costumes. So I'm jealous because whenever I go to check Your parents throw me a homemade t-shirt and call it a day.
Well, next time we can get you the traditional outfit.
Please.
You would love it.
Please. As long as it's not an iron-on pocket tee, sign me up.
You love that stuff. Come on.
I do. But yeah, she got the traditional attire, and now she's getting a handball uniform.
I honestly, this whole experience that me watching them together, actually, like, yes, she can be a little bossy, but I don't think she's bad. I think she cares, and I think she loves Kobe very much. I'm taking her side on this entire issue with the friends.
Classic white woman. She's your average Karen. And maybe,
but she's not. That's the thing. It's like, does she have a little pushy personality? Yes, she does. But she owns it. Kobe knows it. Her parents know it. We all know it. Like, it's not something new that she pretends to be or not to be.
That doesn't excuse it.
No, but it's not horrible. It's not like she's beating him up like Angela's beating up Michael.
True.
Like, she cares for him. If you went to play handball, first of all, I'd be like, what are you playing? I would not allow, if you had a surgery a couple of weeks ago, I would not allow you to play. Let's begin with that.
You wouldn't allow me to play on wet concrete?
No, absolutely fucking not, first of all. So I think she's already better than me with this whole thing that she allowed him to play. And when he got hurt, if he got hurt, I would be like, oh my gosh. I'm like, please don't play again. No, man, don't listen to your stupid friends. Like, you're my husband. You're my family. I don't want you to injure yourself further. We have 59 kids. I need your help.
Yeah.
Like, what she was doing wasn't bad. She was like, hey, like, babe, like, are you okay? Like, and her friend saying, oh, your woman's checking on you. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to dismiss their culture, but hey, don't dismiss ours.
Well,
or hers.
I agree. She is living in their world, though, in this moment. You should try to assimilate a little bit.
Okay, if your husband gets hurt, what are you supposed to stay back, be like, toughen up. We just spent 10 grand on your knee in the surgery. Like, it's okay. Be in pain. Be a man. It's dumb.
Yeah.
If you want to check on your man, do it. And if your friends are going to judge you for it, by all means, because there is crossing the line where she does something that's unnecessary, like telling him how to put napkin on his lap. Sure, he doesn't need a tutorial. But in this case, I'm Team Emily. She was just checking on her husband. What's wrong with that?
All right. No harm, no foul. Handball in Cameroon is different than handball in America. I don't know if you have handball in Czech or if you're even...
Is it a dirty thing that you do in bed?
No. No. I mean, no. But handball in America is like racquetball without the racket. Like, you're just ball against a wall.
Is it like dodgeball?
No.
I don't know what dodgeball
is. This was more rugby meets soccer meets dodgeball. This was
cool. I still don't know what dodgeball is. Just heard the word recently.
You know what dodgeball is.
No.
They played dodgeball in Mavs last season or two seasons ago.
Remind me?
It wasn't like Mike DeShock and Lindsay or some couple.
Oh,
was,
you're throwing balls at each other?
That's dodgeball. You're trying to dodge the ball.
Oh, it's a horrible game. Okay.
It's not the worst game. And then I know a guy. Well, you know the guy. Greg. Remember you met Greg? We were down in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes.
All the tattoos.
Yes.
Speaking of professional handball, Kobe, he was a professional dodgeball player. He was on a reality TV show about dodgeball.
Oh my gosh.
Check this out, friends. If you guys are into reality television, as I know you are, years ago, 10, 15 years ago, there was a reality.
How old is he? I thought he was like my age.
No, he's got to be mid 40s.
Good for him.
Yeah. No, he takes care of himself. But he was on a reality TV show about like professional dodgeball.
What?
It was wild. We'll have to watch it.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
me. Oh, maybe we'll do a bonus on Patreon about that show.
We'll see. I think we have a Czech version of that game that I always dodged because I don't want anyone to throw anything at me. That's why I almost failed gym class because I refused to play volleyball. And then they said I have to play one game to pass.
Uh-huh.
So I did. And it was awful. It hurts. Like, I'm all for like single people sports. I love to snowboard. I love to ski. I love to climb. but I don't like group stuff, especially when someone throws something at you.
Okay, fair enough.
Fair enough, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
Moving on.
So Kobe gets injured, Emily to the rescue, game ends, and she goes and talks to his friends because she's gotten word what they have to say about this
and
white
woman.
And
this is good. And she's coming in friendly, thinking, okay, let's hash it out. But these friends don't even give her a pass. And honestly, she hasn't done anything for them to judge her. Especially because Kobe keeps taking her side. Says, yes, she's a white woman. Yes, she is different. She's from a different culture. But I'm happy. We try to meet in the middle. Yeah, sometimes she is a little bossy, but it's okay. I accept it. His friends should take his word.
Yes, the only thing I don't love is Emily seems dismissive of the Cameroonian culture. And it's like,
but they seem dismissive of her, so.
But we're in Cameroon.
We are in Cameroon, but I think she respects the culture enough that she supports Kobe, supports the family, she put on the outfit, she's there to get to know them, she's gonna go through a Cameroonian wedding. But you need to keep to yourself a little bit, and it's like, you cannot just change who you are. Like, I don't know.
No, you shouldn't change who you are, but there's a little bit of a pick your battles sort of thing. And so when they're talking about like, oh, the man, here's the king. And she's like, oh, I treat him like a king, but I'm also a queen. Okay. Is that necessary to even bring up that like, I'm a queen too?
Well, I think she was just trying to say like, we're equal partners. That's how we do things.
You're not going to change generations of Cameroonian culture in this moment. So she's just like, yeah, I treat him like a king. Boom,
I don't think she's trying to change anyone. I think she's trying to get to know them and for them to get to know her, meaning I'm not a crazy bitch. I might be a little bossy, but I love your friend. We have a beautiful family. The fact that you are telling him now when we've been married for a while, we have 59 kids. Like, you're telling him now that he's not going to be happy with me? That's crazy. Like, if I found out some of your friends came to you at this point that we've been married for years and said, oh, John, like, married to Teresa, married to a European, like, you're not going to be happy. Eventually, you should just dump her and marry a good old girl from Connecticut to be happy. Like, I would be very, very upset, and I would have a word with those friends and be like, if you don't accept me, then we're not going to be friends with you.
Yeah, I see that point.
I'm Team Emily. Like, yes, does she have a little wild personality that she gets bossy unnecessarily? Yes. But I don't think she did anything wrong in this situation. She was trying to get to know them, and they're not giving her a chance.
Sure.
I can understand how Michael from Michael and Angela, his friends hate Angela because Angela keeps abusing Michael.
The goofballs?
Left and right. The goofballs, yeah. Right? She yells at Michael. She yells at them. Yes, dislike her. Sure. That makes a lot of sense. But literally, Emily just got there and everyone doesn't like her.
Yeah. And the friends are out to sabotage the relationship a little bit. The fact that they bring up this girlfriend that Kobe had.
Yeah.
That didn't need to be said.
No.
What was the point of that? What were you hoping to achieve with that other than cause more issues between Emily and Kobe?
Yeah. I don't love these friends, I'll be honest.
All right. All right. Shall we move on?
Let's move on. Let's go to Michigan.
So Jasmine, she just stormed out of the wedding photographer's studio and things are tough for her. You can see it's taking a toll on her.
It is.
She admits she's going through a lot. She's got the kid issue, the mom issue. This is causing some real depression for her. And she thinks the answer is to go back to Panama.
Yeah, but she can't because let's not forget, she's here on the K-1 visa. She doesn't have her green card yet. She needs to apply for it first. And so once Gino catches up with her, they sit down, they talk, and Jasmine tells him, like, I love you, but I'm really considering just leaving.
Yeah.
And I think it hit Gino. He's like, I guess she is not just being dramatic. I think she is actually thinking of leaving.
Yeah, I think at first he thought, here we go again, classic.
Yeah.
It is the girl who cried wolf, the girl who threw the toothbrush. Like, at some point you just go, this is just her.
Yeah.
She gets all up in arms and then she calms down. But now he's starting to believe, oh, this is actually serious. We are talking about her kids and her mom. Like, she may actually go home.
Yeah.
And so he kind of changes his tune. He's like, look, I still want to go to the law offices of Fedora and Fedora to do the paperwork, but we can go seek a professional to once over afterwards.
Well, I'll tell you this, and honestly, they might find a whatever lawyer who's just trying to make some money, but a normal, regular lawyer is not going to look at your work. They're going to be like, you either need to pay us so we do the work for you, we do it the right way, or what? Like, what are you going to do? We're going to review what you did, and what if it needs to be fixed? It's right. Us starting over. Like, no lawyer is going to do this if they are a good lawyer. It needs to be done in a certain way. They're not here to just check on things. However, I think they can find a paralegal who can lay an eye on it for $1,000, and maybe that's what he needs to do. But in this case, when their kids involved, like, he should just suck it up and pay.
It's definitely a situation for like, oh, we have an attorney in the family, or like, oh, our friend is. It's like, that's one of those like, hey, can Brenda look this over?
But he needs an immigration lawyer. If Brenda is a business lawyer that can help you sue someone because they built something on your property, they're really not going to help you with this case. And again, their kids involved. Like, make sure you do this right, because if you don't.
Right.
You can mess up. And another part of this, you're bringing two kids over and you have a wife. It means that you have three people dependent on you, yet you have no income. That's going to be an issue too, unless he's a secret millionaire.
No, that's a different show. But what I did like about this was, it was one of our three C's. It was compromise. In a way, it was him going, you know what? I don't want to spend $5K. on a full-fledged attorney to do this for us. But I hear where you're coming from. Here's the compromise. I'll do it. And then maybe we can save some money by just having someone look over it. So at least it was an attempt at compromise. Whether it works or not, it was a compromise.
It was. And Jasmine is happy because she says, I love him and I needed to hear this. I'm glad he agreed to have someone else look at it. I think that's all she basically wanted, to make sure it's not just Fedora and Fedora.
Yeah, attorneys at law. So they go out for dinner. Oh, Jasmine, what are you drinking that you think you're sitting across the table from the USA president?
Please.
You look so beautiful tonight. I feel like I'm dating USA president.
Maybe he has a new fedora.
Yeah. And then she follows that up by grabbing a piece of fettuccine.
She said fettuccine. Guys, it's fettuccine.
Guys, we've been to Italy once and we learned it's fettuccine.
We took a cooking class and the guy said if he ever hears any of us to say fettuccine, he's going to kick us out of the class.
He will not Lady in the Tramp the fettuccine with us.
No. We should make that pasta. It was so good. Right. I remember it.
Guys, no lie. We were in Rome for almost a week. You guys know this. We ate pasta and pizza every single night.
All the time.
And then our last day, we took a pasta making course. It was the best pasta we had all trip.
It was so good.
It was so good.
It was from scratch. We made it with our hands, no machines. Yeah. It was fettuccine.
Yeah, fettuccine.
Very good, right?
So I think it was. Well, we each had a different sauce. I did a red sauce, and you did
the carbonara.
No, you did the carbonara.
Oh, I did the carbonara. You did the marinara.
Yeah. Well, because guys, don't be like, oh, what a basic bitch. I did a carbonara the night before, so I was like, I want to do something different.
And I did the classic, the salt and cheese the day before too.
Yeah.
I forgot what it's called.
It's at the tip of my tongue.
I know.
Speaking of tips of tongues, they Lady in the Tramp this, and it's like, ma'am, this is an Olive Garden. What are we doing here?
Also, you should Lady in Trump spaghetti, not fettuccine.
Not fettuccine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did it.
They did.
Jasmine is like, I wanted to ask for ketchup, which I'm all for ketchup on spaghetti, but ketchup on fettuccine with a sauce, that's too much for me too.
Yeah. Yeah. You put ketchup on some strange things.
Let's check.
Over in Czech.
Let's check. I remember as a kid, We bunched a couple of times a month. We had a spaghetti with ketchup for dinner and some cheese on top of it.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Bugada?
Yeah, something like that.
Bugada Peppa?
Bugada. Something like that. I had it the day before, so I didn't go for it either, but that was very good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my carbonara was delish.
Bugada Peppa. I think Bugada Peppa, maybe.
All right.
Anyways.
Take me back to Italy.
Yeah. So they start talking about kids because Gino brings up how Jasmine said he wasn't ready to be a father. It hurt him. And I'm glad she kind of stuck to her guns on it. She apologized for hurting him. She's like, I was mad. That's the way I felt.
Yeah, she should not be doing it. Like when you're mad at someone and to just give them a jab that you don't necessarily mean.
I think she kind of means it though. And maybe she doesn't mean it. But what she means is she's not ready to be another mom.
Well, just say that because I think Gino is in his 50s. I think he's post ready to be a father.
You know, little kids, they have like those little Nike Air Max sneakers. Like mm-hmm. if you're a sneakerhead and you're a dad, you get your kid like those little tiny Air Max.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the tiny fedora Gino would get. Imagine the tiny fedora. It'd be adorable.
I think that's all he wants.
It'd be fedorable.
I think he's hoping for a bald baby.
I think most babies are, Teresa.
Well, a lot of babies are born with hair. Not yours, truly. I was bald as a bald baby.
You're very bald.
I had like 3 hair on my head. My parents were concerned.
Yeah.
And then I didn't have like a good hair until I was older.
All right, well, look at your hair now.
So I look like a little boy because my mom kept cutting it herself because she thought it's going to grow stronger.
If she cuts it?
Well, I was a kid. You're not going to waste money on a hairstylist.
Not when you have 3 hair.
So I was, I had a short head until I was like 5-ish.
All right. Are we done with this couple?
We are done with this couple.
All right. Let's take a quick break. I think this is a good time to take a quick break. Mm-hmm. We'll tell you about our sponsor for this episode. When we come back, a couple we haven't talked about all season. So get ready for it. We'll be
back. And I know why.
Me too. All right. Okay. We'll be back in a second.
This episode is sponsored by Jetpack Immune Travel Gummies.
Teresa, travel should be about adventure and relaxation, not sniffles and coughs. That's where Jetpack Immune comes in, an easy, delicious way to boost your immune system. Since getting these into my routine, I've been able to enjoy our travels even more.
But Jetpack isn't your ordinary supplement. It's a special blend that puts health first with a formula that's lower carbs, calories, and sugar than America's number one vitamin brand.
And can we talk elderberry? I've been taking elderberry supplements for a long time, but Jetpack packs a powerful 900 milligrams of elderberry into every serving. That's alongside 8 other immune-boosting ingredients like vitamin C, D, zinc, and echinacea, all in one delicious gummy you'll actually look forward to taking.
The taste is amazing. No bland or bitter vitamins here.
Plus, Jetpack supports a healthy stress response with ingredients like quercetin, bromelain, and astragalus, making it your perfect travel companion.
And because we know our listeners love a good deal, Jetpack is offering a special gift, a stylish pair of Jetpack sunglasses with every purchase for a limited time.
So don't wait. Give your immune system the support it deserves and get a stylish bonus. Head over to jetpackimmune.com to get your Jetpack Immune gummies and your free sunglasses.
Boost your health and travel in style with Jetpack. Visit jetpackimmune.com today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And we're back.
Hello, Jonathan.
We're back with my brilliant wife.
Yes, because it's episode 5, right? And episode we finally
five, yeah.
Get Patrick and Thais, and we were like, why did it take so long? Well, it's because we have John joining them, and John broke the news, talking about being engaged and in love and life is good. We just heard him We witnessed him getting engaged.
Retracting brilliant.
On the single live last week. On Monday. So that's why they had to wait with this segment, because he already basically broke the news. So that's why they waited until episode 5.
It makes all the sense.
Yeah.
So here we are. Injury the episode. Because
oh my gosh.
We learned Patrick also banged up his knee. He was playing flag football, another classic American sport. Injured his knee. Needed surgery. So did what he had to do. He's recovering, but he's still going to travel to Brazil.
Yes, they're going to go and see Thaís's family. Mm-hmm. But it's not just the two of them and the baby. Brother John.
That's a TV show starring Charlie Sheen.
2 and a Half Men?
Oh, yeah. What's 2 Men and a Baby? That's a movie starring
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
So close. 2 Men and a Baby.
That's not a movie.
Yeah, it is. Is it not?
No, it sounds awful.
2 Men and a Baby?
I think it's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
3 Men and a Baby. 2 Men and a Baby. Tom Selleck, Ted Danson.
Don't know those guys.
2 Men and a Baby.
It's probably like a CC movie.
I'm really off today.
But yeah, it's 2 and a Half Men. My dad loves that show. Obsessed.
What?
Don't even get me started on Carell today.
Ooh, let's tell our friends a little bit about Carell's latest adventures.
Guys, you know that my dad just got a new kidney a couple years ago, right?
Paint the picture of your dad for those who don't know, so they can really soak up this story.
Well, okay. My dad was on a list to get a new kidney for about 3 years. He went through a lot of struggles. He finally got a new kidney. While he was waiting on the kidney, he had an injury that he fainted after the dialysis. Triple broke his ankle that to this day is not healed. Actually, it's the opposite of healed. It's so bad that there is nothing they can do about it because of all the meds my dad takes. They cannot put him under anesthesia to fix his ankle. So it's slowly dying out and they're going to let it die out until they cannot do anything with it. And then they'll figure it out. Not great. So with all these issues, my dad has a healthy kidney. Let's knock it.
Knocking it for the
that
kidney.
That he waited for a while. I think he got it from a guy who killed himself on a motorcycle.
Ugh.
So my dad decided that for his 60th birthday, he's going to get a scooter.
Mm-hmm.
Electric, no electric. Regular scooter.
Well, I don't know. I didn't ask those questions. I pictured like a little moped.
Yeah, a little moped. Exactly.
Like a Vespa style.
Yeah. He wants something that can go up to 90 kilometers per hour, which is ridiculous.
I don't know how fast that is.
It's pretty fast.
70 miles
per hour? Like 75, yeah. Which is fast.
Okay.
So my dad, with all his issues and with his brand new kidney, he's probably trying to get on the donation list again, but going the other way.
What goes around comes around.
I'm like, are you freaking crazy? And then he said,
wait, it goes 90 kilometers?
Yeah.
It's only 55 miles an hour.
Yeah, but picture Carell on that thing.
Oh, I'm absolutely picturing Carell on that
thing. You're going to fall over. You won't be able to get up. My dad is like, what do you think is going to fall over? It doesn't fall over. I'm like, Dad, you're going to ride to work. There's going to be someone driving past you. That air is going to like bump you over. What are you going to do? Plus, guys, my dad is not really good at safety, so I can see him dishing the helmets.
Yeah. Carell is the worst driver I've ever been in the car with. And I fear what that means when he gets comfortable behind the handlebars of his scooter. It's like, in the beginning, you take it easy, you take it slow, this is new. And then you get comfortable and boom, now he's full throttling that thing to 90 KMs.
Yeah, I'm really nervous about it. And now my mom is upset because she gave him the money for his birthday. He was supposed to buy a new bass, and then he decided he doesn't want a new bass. He wants a scooter.
All about that bass. No, trouble, actually. is what he's in for. Thanks. I'm back.
I'm so mad at Corral. He cannot do it. I think he's going through some midlife crisis.
Absolutely is.
That besides the scooter, he's thinking of getting a hot dog. The dog that looks the hot dog.
I was gonna say, let the guy get a hot dog if he wants a hot dog. I mean, I know he's not the healthiest, but he can have a hot dog if he wants.
Eat a hot dog, but they're thinking of getting a new dog. Fluffy's still good. She's a little babichka, but
imagine Fluffy on the back of the scooter.
Oh my gosh, my mom would not allow it. But imagine a little hot dog.
No, in a basket on the front of the scooter.
Yeah, my dad is out of his mind. I think he keeps going through this midlife crisis once every like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Because like last time he went through a midlife crisis, this is way before Russia invaded Ukraine.
Started growing weed in the backyard.
Well, he did that too. But he applied for a job to go and teach kids in Kazakhstan.
That's why we were together and he did that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like early on, it's like 8 years ago, that position got taken. So they offered him to go to Siberia for a year.
Your mom was like, take it.
He was considering it, but then something happened. I think it got filled. The position got filled too, because my dad can speak Russian. So he was going to go and teach Czech. And I was like, what are you doing? You got to go and live in Kazakhstan, Borat land, for a year, or very Siberia. Nice. With my mom, like leaving my mom behind. So 8 years passed with all his injuries. He's about to buy a moped.
All right. Remember when Finn Fan was like, just the right amount of non-related talk.
I just need you guys to chime in so I can send it to Corral. I'd be like, Dad, John and I, Mom, are not the only people who think you're being a moron right now. Yeah. So,
all right. Knock on the door. Who is it? I heard about a potty. I heard there's a potty and I like potties.
Tice is like, what? What are you saying?
I like parties. I've never been to Monte Claro's and I like parties and I heard about a party.
I think the first time I understood Boston's accent was when we bought that birthday card for your dad.
It's a fantastic card.
It is, but that was the first time I started to understand Boston accent.
Well, get ready for a lot of Boston accents in a month or two because we're going to a bar mitzvah.
Well, they're going to Basel.
Yeah, they're going to Basel for a party.
Yes. And so this made me realize that they only shared their mom. They must have different dads because Patrick's dad is from Brazil.
Yes.
He lives in Brazil. And that's why he speaks Portuguese. John only speaks Boston. Yeah. But he decided, like, why not? I'm engaged. I have almost a wife and a kid, but I'm going to go to Brazil with you guys to go to a party.
Yeah, this makes no sense. And it's all for the cameras.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be honest. Like, why would your brother go on vacation with you if it wasn't for the cameras?
I mean, they can help you with a kid, too, but I don't think the Johns are going to help with a kid.
He's a dad now.
Yeah. Well, this is what I didn't like about a segment. John leaves and Thais is like, oh, he just moved out. I can't believe he is coming back with us. Like, why did he invite himself? Do you want him to come, Patrick? And Patrick is like, well, why not? It would be nice to have someone there. Like, I want to see my dad too. He can help out. But Patrick is like, it's up to you, Thais. She's like, okay, that's fine. He can come. It's like, of course he's going. He's going because he brings the drama. He brings... something.
It's also not up to you guys. It's up to Matt Sharp, who's going to go to Brazil on TLC. And it's up to production.
Up to who?
Production.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. And he is going. So I think that drama is going to be that Tasty's dad hates Patrick.
Who's dad?
Tasty's.
Oh, I thought you said Tasty's.
No, Tasty's dad hates Patrick. And I think that's why we're bringing John to have Patrick's back. So there might be some drama happening, but we'll see.
All right, let's see. Next, drama.
Speaking of drama,
Nicole and Mike Mood.
And Oha.
Hola. Yeah. What is it? Hola? It's like the Scrabble version of hola. Because I was like, hello. I think you mean Olga.
Yes, I thought that too, but then I did a little good old googling. Oha is actually a unique name, unique to Ukraine, with that spelling. It's also, you can also say Olga and spell it with a G, but Olha is a unique Ukrainian name. I did not know that.
Huh. Olha.
You live, you learn. Yeah. Or you watch reality TV, you learn.
Sometimes. Where's Mahmoud? I thought Mahmoud was supposed to come. No, he didn't want to come because he wants to get a divorce.
Yeah, because I have showing a little bit of skin on my back, so he decided not to. And all her friends said what I said. That's a very conservative dress you're wearing.
It's a very conservative dress, but Nicole, and we know how this relationship turned out. It's hard to even talk about this relationship knowing where it ended up, but...
Well, I do like it because I want to see what led up to it, and I can already see.
Oh, I agree, but what I'm going to say is, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, I'm sure, is when times are tough in your relationship, a lot of people like to spill the tea to their friends and their mm-hmm. family. You're never going to believe this piece of shit. It's like, but odds are you're going to get back together, and your mm-hmm. friends are going to remember all the garbage that you said about your partner. So, like, in the heat of the moment, try not to talk shit about your partner because it's probably going to come back to bite you in the ass. And watching this, I'm like, Nicole is just shitting on him. He didn't want to come. He wants a divorce. It's like, okay, you're being very honest. And we know how this goes sideways. And I really, really hope you guys never get back together. But if you do, it's like you've said so much shit about your husband that it's embarrassing if you get back together.
Yeah. And I almost feel like she needs to get it out, but it's so crazy because he just got here. So your relationship is so shitty that you are getting all of this out the next day. That's crazy. I don't understand why she had the need to bring him to the U.S. knowing that it's going to happen. What did she think? He's going to land at LAX and all of a sudden he's going to become American and he's going to ask you to wear a belly shirt and do shots at a bar? Like, that's not going to happen. And Julian, who is Olha's husband, made a good point. He said, you need to give him a chance. Like, he just got here, which is true. I'm not taking Mahmoud's side, but he did just land. And I think she should have taken it easy a little bit on him.
I get what she's trying to do, which is trying to blend the cultures.
Yeah.
And I think we would all agree that dress was modest. That dress was conservative. So if she did come out in a mini skirt and a belly shirt, I'd be like, come on, Nicole. Yeah. But I think she was trying to like dip her toe in, hey, I know this wouldn't fly in Egypt, but I'm going to be me. And I want you to get comfortable with that. So I don't think she was really pushing the limits on day two with that outfit.
No. But I think in general, just don't give him that much shit. He just got here, right? Like, give him at least a week or two to kind of adjust. Like, this is a culture shock for him. The same it was for her. And so, again, I don't want to take Mahmoud's side because I don't like Mahmoud and we all know what he did, but he just landed. I feel like she could have worn jeans and a shirt or like something that's still cool and fashionable, but you're not showing off your back to keep his mind at peace and like ease him into it. Don't do this 2 days in when he's like overwhelmed.
Yeah. Yeah. Julian was like, well, I can show him the ropes. I'll show him a thing or two. And I'm like, Julian, you and me both, brother. We know how it is being with these spicy European women. You gotta learn to deal with all that leather and skin.
You love my leather jackets and pants and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, but it's just uber sexual.
Is it?
Yeah, uber sexual. I feel it's like another term that I just coined. I don't know what it is yet, but like metrosexual used to be a thing.
I think uber sexual is probably when I put my leather pants on.
Okay.
Okay. You just said it. You just find it sexual.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, you Europeans, you guys are going topless at the beach and
you got to get your girl tan.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Back to these guys. Yeah. I don't think Nicole will ever go European at the beach. I think if anything, maybe, just maybe, She can wear that bathing suit without the hood. She looked like a condom.
Never forget. Yeah, so everyone's like, well, we really wanted to meet this guy. Can we come over?
And Nicole's like, you know what? Let's do it. And she knew what she was doing. She knew he's going to be thrown off. But they're doing it. And here's my big question. She's in an Uber or Lyft. She's like, yeah, we took a different ride share so I can think. This, why would you do that?
This is not Uber sexual. this is an Uber pain in the ass. And now we know why LA traffic is so bad. Is because you're all taking independent ride shares back to the same place.
Also, if you took one, you can take that fast lane.
You could take the HOV.
Yeah.
You could split the fare.
I don't understand why she didn't go to own Uber.
She was just like, well, we're all taking separate ride shares and this gives me a chance to compose myself.
All right, Nicole, let's compose yourself because we're about to go to your apartment. I was judging Mahmoud for sleeping in his clothes, but hey, it worked out well because he's ready to meet people. Like, hey, imagine like if someone walks in, you're in your PJs, not your best looks, like, yeah, like, oh man, Mahmoud, he's ready to hit the town or the bed.
Yeah.
You pick.
Hey, Mahmoud, my friends are here. So if you want to come out and meet them, you should. Well, he doesn't get a chance to because they all just run into the bedroom.
Olga just jumps on the bed, starts hugging him. Mahmoud's freaking out. He's like, there's a woman on the bed. I don't know her. She's hugging me.
It's against his culture. And then Julian's like, so can I get a beverage? And Ola's like, tequila, please.
Yeah, or vodka, like whip it out.
And this was the first time Mahmoud realized there was alcohol in the house.
I understand he cannot drink. I didn't know he cannot be around it.
I'm sure he can be around it. It's just, I feel like this would be like if I discovered that you had a handgun in the nightstand. Like this is how that's been there the whole time? You've had a gun?
That's big. Hmm? I feel like comparing that to booze is like there's a too big of a difference.
I'm just saying it's startling to learn that this has been in my house.
I know, but it's not that crazy.
The alcohol part or the gun part?
The alcohol part.
Okay.
I was going to say it would be to compare it. It's like if you found out I have a pack of cigarettes in my backpack, but I do. And I told you about it yesterday. You bought it, so.
Yeah, we took them from
Italy. We got really drunk in Italy, and there was
they have vending machines on the streets of Italy for cigarettes.
Yeah, and we spent way too much money on it because John could figure this out.
Well, I was drunk, and yeah. I dropped the money down the sewer, basically, and then a guy came and helped us.
Yeah,
because you needed you needed an Italian ID or something to.
Yeah, that was the fun night at that wild bar. That was like you were sitting at the bar, but you were actually at the table.
They were playing the greatest music you could ever imagine. It was just like pull up the best throwback hits on YouTube.
Yeah, and I was on my like 59 Aperol Spritz.
Yeah.
I haven't had Aperol Spritz since Italy.
All right.
I drank it like water in Italy.
Well, speaking of drinking, Nicole pours everyone a drink except for herself. She just has a soda water.
Mm-hmm.
And they all cheers to Mahmoud. And they're like, it's your welcome party. And like,
he's in his sleep outfit.
Yeah. They're like, why didn't you come out? We wanted to hang out with you. Why didn't you come out? He's like, well, I'm tired. And everyone's like, yeah, you do. You look very tired.
And Nicole is like, you're a fucking liar. Oh. Just tell them. It's like, even Julian, he's like, wow. He's like, all right, let's calm down.
But here's the thing, and I don't want to take Mahmoud's side because, again, we know how this goes. But he was doing the right thing. This is nobody's business. Like, you don't need to share your personal drama with the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you do because you're on reality TV. But, like, if you guys are in a fight and then, hey, we got to go out with our friends, you don't have to bring that drama to your friends. You can try to suck it up for a couple hours and have a good time. So he was... Mahmoud was doing the right thing by being like, oh, I'm just tired. I don't want to go. Not like, oh, we're in a big fight.
Yeah.
Nicole wasn't having that, though. Nicole's like, no, I'm going to spill all the tea.
Well, I almost feel like she's looking for validation that she's not crazy for finding Mahmoud crazy, for restraining her from being herself. I think she wants her friends to be like, oh, my gosh, like, this is awful, Nicole. Let's get out of this situation. So when she does, No one's going to judge her.
And she is right, except for the fact that it's just a cultural thing. Like, I don't, yes, he's being controlling, but that comes from a cultural place. And so if everyone takes her side, which they should and I would, it's not just like, oh, he's not letting you be you because whatever his personal feelings are. It's like, this is just the way he was raised and his religion and his culture. And so you don't need to gang up on him in the middle, like wake him up out of bed in the middle of the night and gang up on him.
Well, I thought the friends thought, let's surprise him. He's going to be happy to see us. Nicole knew that he is pissed. She knew he's probably sleeping in his clothes already, but she wanted this. And I'm here for it. I think maybe she's trying to push all his buttons so he starts to be a little more relaxed. This, what's going to happen next, and we saw the previews, it's going to be wild. Because Nico is like, I don't even want to be near him. Like, fuck him. Well, Mahmoud loves to take off. And I think he's going to take off again. Yeah. But let's wait.
All right. Speaking of taking off, speaking of landing in New York.
Yeah, Ashley and Manuel. Hold on. I thought they were driving to New York.
I think they were driving to the airport.
Now I figured it out too, but they landed.
It's funny because until I moved to the South, because Rochester to the city is 5-ish hours.
It's nothing.
Until I moved to the South, I thought a 5-hour drive was an overnight trip. I thought I'd pack the car, pack a suitcase, get a hotel.
Yeah, it wasn't even that. I think we already started driving hardcore during COVID.
Yes, but also in the North, everything is so close.
True.
And so if you can go from Connecticut to Boston in under 2 hours. You can go to New York in under 2 hours. Like, so if something took more than 2 hours, you're like, wow, this is kind of far.
Mm-hmm.
So down here, you got to drive a few hours
just
to get to like the next city. And that's why we're so used to drive. Like 5 hours for us is a day trip.
Yeah.
But they flew. They flew. And now Manuel's a cranky baby.
Yeah. I dislike Manuel so much.
Stinks.
He has attitude all the time. And I'm curious to see him adapting to the life in the U.S. because he's not learning any English. And when Ashley attempts to tell him, like, hey, this is Empire State Building, he can't even repeat it after her.
I just don't think he wants. He's stubborn.
He's very stubborn.
I don't think he wants to. He probably could. He just doesn't want to.
Like, they go to New York. They're staying in Queens.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, because of the culture that is apparently a big Ecuadorian community.
And that's where Jonathan lives.
Yes. So they're staying in Queens. They're going to meet Jonathan tonight for dinner. But Manuel is hungry. He has an attitude. He's upset. He's a baby.
And here's the dumbest part. You're in New York City, right? Queens. You're in New York City.
They still have the 24-hour pizza.
You could walk downstairs out of your hotel and hit 20 different bodegas, four different dollar pizza slices, a gyro place, whatever you want, but you just rather sit there and whine and complain that you're hungry.
Yes. That's classic Manuel. They're going to meet Jonathan for dinner, so Ashley wants to get ready. She wants them to shower after her 45-minute flight.
Yeah.
Manuel just wants to eat.
Let me turn to the cards, though, to see how the trip is going to go. And now she's just stalling, though, and now I kind of appreciate the cards because I'm like, you're being such a baby, Manuel. Let me turn to the cards. I know I could, like, get in the shower and get a move on, but, like, let me turn to the cards and really just, like, get you extra hangry. And so I support that.
Yes. The cards are saying that there will be issues. I could have told you that. I don't need to read the cards. If there is Manuel, there are issues. So, moving on. Yeah. They're walking through Queens and Manuel is seeing all these Ecuadorian stores and bodegas and restaurants and he wants to stay.
Because
he feels like, I don't even need to speak English here.
It's a tale as old as 90 Day. 90 Dayer goes to New York City. 90 Dayer wants to stay in New York City.
I mean, everyone wants to stay in New York City, but for me, it wasn't like, yes, there is a Czech community in Queens. There are all the communities live in Queens. There is no way I would ever want to live there. Because
in Queens?
Or in
New York?
In Queens, near the Czech community. If I wanted to live in Queens, I want to find a place in Queens I like, regardless of the neighborhood on what community lives there, right? If I like it, sure. I would never want to live near the Czech community in the U.S. I would move back home. That's the real Czech community.
Yeah.
Like, if I live in New York, I want to live in New York. I want to live the lifestyle of New York, which I did. I was fortunate enough to do that. But I would never want to live near the Czech community.
But that's because you're a Wolverine. You have bravery, strength, and determination.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so you're comfortable getting outside and meeting new people and embracing new cultures. And there's some people who come to a new place. Like, did Manuel want to come to America? I think so. But he's here and he feels a little out of place and uncomfortable. And he can't really fit in. And so he found a place he does fit in. That's Queens. That's the Ecuadorian culture. And I think he's embracing it.
He is. But I get it. I understand. It brings a piece of home. Like, when I see a Czech restaurant somewhere, it feels like a piece of home, right? Like, I do want to eat that. I want to try it. Brings me right back. But I think Manuel sees the easy way out. He's like, wait a minute. If I live in Queens, I don't even need to learn English. I have my friends here. Everyone speaks the language around here. I can just live a comfortable life. Yeah. If I live in Rochester, I will need to learn English. I don't like learning English. And I need to be with Ashley.
And I have to live with Ashley.
Yeah. And him just saying things like this, like, I'm going to stay here. You go back to Rochester. It's like, where is the love, Manuel?
Exactly.
Like, you can joke about it once, but then you should always be like, oh, no, I couldn't live without you, babe, or something. He's like straight up thinking about it.
Well, it'd be a somewhat funny jab if they had a solid relationship, but they have a terrible relationship.
Terrible.
And so when you say things like, yeah, I'll stay here, you go home, you mean it. It's not a playful banter.
No. So they finally get out. Ashley's ready. They're meeting Jonathan at a nice Ecuadorian restaurant. Manuel's loving it. He's back home.
He's in his element.
Yes.
And Ashley brings up how she feels like she hasn't really been part of Manuel's life recently. He's always on his phone. He's talking to people 24/7. He's talking to his family, and he's talking to you, Jonathan.
And Jonathan says, I mean, not really. I mean, sometimes I call him, he doesn't even pick up.
If it's not you he's talking to, Jonathan, then who?
Is he talking to his baby mama?
And here's the thing. Jonathan says no. Jonathan says he's not talking to his baby mama.
Well, he keeps looking at Manuel. Like, they're doing this eye contact, and Jonathan is trying not to throw his friend under the bus.
Well, call me crazy. Do it. Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
Oh, call me crazy. But it's the mother of his child. Like, is it the worst thing to talk to her?
Well, it depends how you talk. If you message her and say, hey, how are the kids? All good. I'll try to send you money once I make some. Have a good one. That's one thing. If he's talking to her, like talking to her,
sure.
That's a fucking
like,
big
I'm
problem.
I'm going to get that bag and then I'm going to come back to you. Yeah.
Like, that is a big difference. Like, yes, if you have a kid with someone else and you move on onto a new relationship, I would hope that you can be cordial enough to at least talk about a kid.
Yeah.
But if he's chatting with her about all kinds of things, then that's a big problem.
Yes, yes. But to me, it's just there is nuance in it, and you should be able to talk to the mother of your child.
Well, here's the biggest issue with this. Yes, you should be able to talk to the mother of your children, but your current partner should know about it.
Sure, good point.
Ashley knows nothing.
Good point.
Ashley doesn't know who he's talking to. And we found out it's not really Jonathan.
No.
Jonathan, however, knows different tea that he didn't even tell Ashley about. Manuel's baby mama has been reaching out to Jonathan, asking about Manuel and how is he doing?
How is he doing? Interesting.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
We'll see. I'm sure this is going to come back.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to be some drama.
As always. And then they'll bang it out and things will be fine. We'll turn to the cards and you know how it goes. Last but not least.
Speaking of drama, once again,
we are talking about 90 Day.
Yes. So Rob pulled Sophie aside and he is not happy that she lied to him or didn't say anything about Cullum.
You got it right this time.
About Cullum and her dating. And she says, we dated when I was 15 for a month. And I agree with Sophie. When you date someone when you're 15 for a month and you kiss in an alley, that's not really a relationship. However,
we gotta talk off air.
What do you mean?
What alley? And who are you talking about?
I don't know. When you're 15, you don't kiss in public, do you?
Kiss in alleys? Classic Europe.
Classic Europe. Let's go with that. I don't think that's a big problem. But what I'm going to take her upside is that she should have told him. She should be like, hey, we're friends. We kind of dated when we were 15 for a month. We're holding hands and kissed in an alley. That's about it. The fact that she didn't tell him is sketchy. Like, I would also question that. The only thing I would question, if you said, hey, gonna meet my friend, like we dated when we were 15 for a month, we hung out at the temple, I would be like, okay, cool, that's fine. I'm happy to meet her. I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't tell me, and then she told me, then I would feel like, wait a minute, are you still have feelings for this girl? Why didn't you tell me?
I mean, you know people can't keep their hands off me when I'm wearing my yarmulke, so. the only thing I'll say about this, I would try to play it a little cooler than Rob was playing it.
Like, well, of course.
Of course, it's an uncomfortable situation, but I wouldn't throw a hissy fit in front of the ex. Like, try to be the bigger person. Try to be like, oh, this doesn't bother me. And then when you get home, be like, what the heck? Why didn't you tell me?
Well, they're not going home together. That's the problem.
I know.
But I actually was proud of Rob. I was waiting for him to, like, really lose his shit.
Oh, when Callum came over to be like, just want to make sure everything's... I'm like, I would have been like, get the hell out of here, dude. Like, this is none of your business, actually. And you don't need to come in here and try to protect her or rescue her. Yeah, Rob could have lost it a little bit more, but
yeah, he didn't. I was proud of him. I was like, man, you're either like very annoyed at the situation, you just want to get out of there, or you're growing up.
Yeah, and Callum lost me when he was talking to the producers and said, if Sophie wanted to date again, I definitely wouldn't say no. She's married.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's super slimy to just be like, yeah, I would date. It's like, she's married.
Yeah.
Just don't even entertain that thought, that question, that idea.
Yeah.
Just be like, she's married. I hope for the best between her and Rob.
Yeah. I feel like inserting him into this situation was just, I don't know, to push Rob's buttons because, yeah, he talks for like a hot minute. Rob says, hey, like my ex ended up with her best friend. So I just have a little PTSD about this. And honestly, Callum, this is between me and Sophie, so if you don't mind, let us finish. I was like, damn, Rob, are you growing up?
Yeah. Yeah, he goes home. Sophie stays. She has fun. The next day, we get a quick flashback where Sophie told Callum, hey, we can't be friends anymore. I got to work on things with Rob.
Which is silly, too. Like, if you're friends, you're friends. I think I'm going to put this whole situation on Sophie. She should have told Rob to begin with.
Yeah.
And she should have established some boundaries with Callum, who she invited to Austin. I can understand. Like, she's a, hey, friend, come to Austin. Me and my husband are kind of estranged. I live with my friend. Like, I can see how Callum could have had, like, could have think like, oh, they're not really together. She doesn't even live with him. Like, I like her. Maybe. So I think Sophie should have been honest with both of them. She should have told Callum that, hey, I'm still married. I'm trying to get back together with Rob. I'll tell him about our little fling when we're 15. Tell Rob about it and then act like the wife that you are.
Yeah, it would have been a non-issue if she had just told Rob, hey, well, 10 years ago, when we were like early teens.
Yeah.
We kissed.
Yeah.
It would have been a non-issue.
Yeah.
But so now Rob and Sophie are meeting up.
At the Bad Bridge.
On the Bad Bridge, the South Congress Bridge. I think they were like, oh, it was too bad. There's no bats. Yeah, because you were there like midnight. It was pitch black. The bats come out at sunset. Like, that's the whole thing, is you go there for sunset and then the bats come out. You guys were there. It was walking towards the bridge. It was pitch black. So,
do you remember on The Office where?
Oh, the bat.
Yeah.
And then Meredith.
Yeah, Meredith got, not herpes, what did she get? Rabies.
I mean, she definitely has herpes, but she got rabies.
Rabies.
Yeah. So Sophie apologizes for not explaining the relationship. And
then she says, I'm coming home tomorrow. Why tomorrow? Why don't you go home tonight?
She's got to pack her things. Maybe she didn't pack, assuming Rob might say no, but.
No, but you can still go. It's your home. You're married.
That's very true.
Like, it's not like, oh, we're a boyfriend, girlfriend, I have nothing in there. Like, you can still go home with your husband.
Well, that's how I felt about the meeting at the Bat Bridge. I'm like, why don't you just go home and talk to him? It's like, I'm here now. I'm coming back.
Then, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll
drama.
See.
You know what else we'll see? Lauren and Alexi.
I forgot they're on the season.
Forgot about them. So we'll see them next week, which is fun.
Wonder what her drama is, because from the preview, she says, everyone tells me I look awesome after kids, but I really feel like I need to get some plastic surgery.
Oh, well, if she needs lips, Chantel. Well,
we all saw the transformation on social media. Like, she looks great. She got a mommy makeover.
Yeah.
Is this the drama?
No, I think there's more drama.
We'll see.
I don't know. We'll see. So there we go. Oh.
But no Angela and Michael so far. Yet. I wonder if they already took them off. They're not in any of the previews, but this was the first time we saw Lauren
and Alexi.
What's her name? Lauren?
And Alexi.
Yeah. And the previews. So we'll see.
All right. That's the episode. Episode 5 in the books. Hope you guys enjoyed watching. Hope you guys enjoyed listening. Thank you for listening. If you guys want to hear more, if you guys want to hear us talk about more reality TV, we're doing it over on Patreon and Supercast. Patreon.com/MarriedToReality. MarriedToReality.Supercast.com. Wrapping up The Single Life. Rolling right into Love and Paradise. Looks like it's going to be a wild season.
Wild.
So check that out if you guys are interested. Also, make sure you're following us on Instagram at MarriedToRealityPod. Call in over there. Share your thoughts. We want to hear from you.
Yes.
And make sure you're following the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Look down and smash that follow button.
Yes. Smash it like it's as hot as the beautiful review from our friend.
Finn Fan. Thanks for making it over here. We hope you probably just listened to 9 other 90-day recaps. Glad you saved this one for last and hope we delivered.
Yeah, and thank you for the beautiful review. I love it.
Beautiful review. So there you go. If you haven't left the review, be like Finn Fan. Don't listen to us last. I like to be first. If you're not first, you're last. But
I like it. Like, save the best at last.
Well, all right. Thank you, Finn Fan. We just appreciate anyone who listens. So
very true.
If you haven't left the review, please do. We love the love. Leave a 5-star review. We will read it for everyone to hear.
Yes.
All right. That is it. I've said it all.
I've said it all.
Sure have. Means we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.